Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Happy Tuesday to all our viewers and listeners. It's now time to get to our 7-7 top headlines, starting off in the NBA. Suns snapped the Knicks' 9-game win streak and 12-game cover streak in a 118-110 win in New York. Devin Booker and Chris Paul scored the final 7 points for the Suns. The second-seeded Suns halted their 2-game losing skid, Kev.
Big result for both squads here. The Knicks almost with that double-digit win streak, which would have been incredible. You take nothing away, though, from a 9-game win streak that's positioned them for the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference. And they got a legitimate look last night at what the playoffs might look like. Real double teams, aggressive double teams to get the ball out of Julius Randle's hands. Thibodeau and that group now have some real good tape to work off of. On the other side of the floor, the Suns now put themselves just one game back of the number one seed, not just in the West, but the overall best record in the league, which would give them home court advantage throughout the playoffs if they could catch Utah there. Big stuff for both clubs. Love to see Chris Paul hitting daggers.
Yeah, and also noteworthy in the NBA, AD scores 18 points in 31 minutes of action in the Lakers' first win since his return. Los Angeles rallies to stop a 3-game losing streak, beating the Magic 114-103. Magic were able to post a 40-point second quarter, but the Lakers get the win, halted their losing skid, and AD looked better in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Much better. Start to finish as well. He came out, made his first three jumpers, and you're like, all right, I think we're back here. He finishes 8 of 15, as you mentioned, 18 points, a couple of blocks, and most importantly, I would say, Erin, a plus for the first time in the plus-minus category since his return. Dennis Schroeder was excellent, and they were down at half, an awful second quarter, as you said. They turned that to a double-digit victory. I know they're supposed to beat Orlando, but that's exactly what they did, covering some of the early numbers as well. Exciting to see Anthony Davis getting back to form. That's massive for the NBA.
Yep, and also last night, a healthy Sixers squad rolls the Thunder 124-88. Simmons was back, and the Sixers halt their 4-game losing streak. When Simmons was ruled in, of course, that line moving in favor of the Sixers, double digits there. 76ers sit 1 game behind the Nets in the Eastern Conference standings, trying to get that number one spot.
This is hopefully going to be life for the Sixers after the prime time 7 that they had to deal with. 7 games, all prime time, all of them against playoff teams, a much, much more favorable schedule for this squad now. It starts against the Thunder, the big three back. None of them needed to play more than 25 minutes, a 30 piece of work against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The big thing now for the Sixers is trying to get back to that one seed. They still own the tiebreaker over the Brooklyn Nets, which it very well could come down to when it's all said and done. But overall, a dominant victory for the Sixers, who get back in the win column finally after that 4-game losing streak.
Yes, of course. Also, let's switch to Major League Baseball. Angels Ohtani made more history by becoming the first player in nearly 100 years to start a game on the mound while also entering the day leading the majors in home runs. He gave up 4 runs in the first, then went 2 for 3 with 2 RBIs and 3 runs scored. He struck out 9 over 5 innings. Angels win 9-4 over the Rangers. He's 10-1 to win the AL MVP behind Mike Trout, who right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook sits at plus 200. And right now, just quickly want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines with Ohtani making history.
It's modern-day Babe Ruth. I mean, that's exciting. Are you kidding me? Babe Ruth is the type of athlete that it's like a folk tale. There's no way that's real. He was the best pitcher and hitter possibly in the league simultaneously. How leading the league in home runs and strikeouts. I don't know if Ohtani is going to be able to replicate some of those things, but he's the only one trying. It's why that MVP number looks the way it does. Shohei Ohtani is becoming can't miss whenever he takes the mound. I mean, he's pretty much can't miss whenever he goes to the plate as well. I love what Shohei Ohtani's bringing to the table.
Yeah, you love to see it. Also in Major League Baseball, Zach Wheeler pitched his best game for the Phillies. He walked 3 and struck out 9. Pitching into the 9th inning, Wheeler got all the run support he needed with Rhys Hoskins, who homered twice in the game. Phillies win 2-1 over the St. Louis Cardinals.
Excellent baseball game. 2-1. I know typically that's a little, it can be a little boring, but it was the starters dominating. Wainwright for the Cards pitched the full 9, which was awesome, turning the clock back. It was just two mistakes that Hoskins took advantage of, accounting for both of those RBIs. And then you said it, 8 innings of work for Zach Wheeler, only allowing the 1 run, striking out 9. Great pitching duel. Hoskins was the difference at the plate. Awesome game. Really good result as well for the Phillies.
Yep, and the major headline across the week is, of course, going to be the NFL draft. It's happening this week, and apparently the 49ers won't commit to Jimmy G. Kyle Shanahan, interestingly, said yesterday, "I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive come Sunday." In a press conference, he said this about the QB situation. So that quote, Kevin, not getting us very far.
No, hate the quote. Really, really don't like it at all. I understand he's trying to play the fence here, but it does now start to make us wonder, could a team be trading for Jimmy Garoppolo and Jimmy G be on a new team by the time the NFL draft is over?
Yeah, and also lastly, the Patriots are interested in moving up potentially for Justin Fields. Fields' draft position has moved to a total of 8.5 rounds. He is also plus 185 to go number 4 overall behind Kyle Pitts.
No doubt about it, that move to the 8.5 draft position is the most important thing from a betting perspective now. And it's plus money to that over 8.5. Where would the Patriots have to go to nail Justin Fields?
And we'll talk more about the NFL draft in this hour. Stay with us here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Kevin and I want to get into some Major League Baseball that happened yesterday, starting off with the Dodgers versus the Reds. Now, the Reds were originally swept in their 3-game series against the Cardinals. They were on a 7-game losing streak. That all came to an end when they beat the Dodgers 5-3 in extra innings yesterday. Jesse Winker's 2-run homer saved the Reds in 10 innings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Aaron, one of the things that you and I have talked about here, we're going to talk a little bit more during this segment, is some of the live betting strategies for Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about multiple runs in extra innings. We saw that again. This game was 3-3 going into the 10th. The 2-run shot from Winker, which, by the way, was a 2-run shot because someone automatically starts on base, gets you those extra runs. The same thing happened in Indians Twins, the walk-off homer by Luplo. Lead-off home runs that are accounting for 2 runs because the man starts on second base. Here's the other big thing that comes from this game, though, now, Aaron. We talked about this the last time that the Dodgers and the Padres had played one another, and it's now true once again. 3-0 fading the Dodgers or Padres, their first game after the series where they play one another in these playoff atmosphere type of games. I don't think that that is insignificant. I really don't think it is a coincidence that we have now seen that. And if you have faded the Dodgers in their 2 games after playing the Padres, one against the Mariners and then here against the Reds, and then you faded the Padres in their corresponding game against the Brewers, they were off yesterday, you're up, you know, nearly 5 units. Let's just say if you're 100, a 1-unit player, however you want to kind of equate that, That is significant to me. I'm not sure how you want to carry that over because the Padres have the day off, and this is the first time that we've seen one of them have the day off after this series. But I think this is something that we absolutely need to be following, Aaron, here, because these two clubs, the Dodgers and the Padres, when they are meeting, it has this huge playoff feel. The two teams know it. The fans know it. The people in attendance, of course, the media, the hype, and the games themselves are living up to that. So it's taking a lot out of these players. And we have now seen the Dodgers lose the next day after playing the Padres both times. And we know the same thing happened to San Diego. I think that's an important betting trend for us to follow.
Yes, it is. And of course, these teams are going to play again today with the Los Angeles Dodgers right now, minus 255 on the money line with Bueller on the mound and the total at 7.5. We want to continue with some of our preview before we get in, or excuse me, our recap before we get into our preview. Also with the Yankees versus the Orioles. So Matt Harvey, 6 innings pitch, 5 strikeouts, 3 hits, 1 run. Orioles beat the Yankees 4-2. Mullins hits 2 home runs and a double. Yankees had Garcia on the mound to make his season debut. He pitched 4 innings with 4 strikeouts. And 3 hits. These two teams are going to face each other again today with the Yankees favored right now on the money line. Total at 9.5. They have Zimmerman on the mound for the Orioles.
Frustrating game for the Yankees there, especially the way that the 8th inning ended with the calling out of Aaron Judge at third, Aaron Boone not getting an opportunity to challenge it, him then getting thrown out, and he wanted to challenge whether LeMahieu was safe or not. Look, it was a total disaster. The Yankees right now losing to Baltimore, it feels like quite the disaster. They've got 3 more games in Baltimore. They need at least 2 wins. They'll be favored in 3, all 3 of those games. What I wanted to bring to the table here with the Yankees game is doing a little extra research yesterday. Aaron Judge has dominated at Camden Yards. It was his birthday yesterday. Thought he might hit a home run on his birthday. He didn't. But Aaron Judge, since 2017, which is, you know, qualifies as his rookie season, has played before yesterday 22 games at Camden Yards, homered in 10 of them, which is a ridiculous clip, near 50% of the games. He has only had 1 series at Camden Yards where he has gone homerless. Because of the huge plus money that you can still get on a player to home run, I'm going to give it a whirl here. You know, and again, if you're somebody who's breaking it up from a unit perspective, say a quarter unit, $25, and you put it on Aaron Judge to homer in every single game of this series, a 4-game set. If he doesn't, you're down, you know, the 1 unit, you'll live with it. But if he does in just 1 of the 4 games, it'll cover you. And based on Judge's time playing at Camden Yards, he should hit a home run in 1 of these games. I'm going to look to back Judge Aaron to hit a home run at some point here during this 4-game set.
No, I think that's great advice for our listeners and our viewers. Now, for the Angels, they beat the Rangers 9-4. Of course, the headline being around Ohtani. Was there anything else notable from this game that you wanted to mention, especially in terms of betting?
Yeah, absolutely. So yesterday, trying to handle a lot of these strikeout props. I know these are becoming more and more popular for a lot of people to be playing these. And I saw a Shohei Ohtani number at 6.5. And in his first 2 games, in about 1 4 1/3 inning of work and the other in 4 innings of work, he had struck out 7. I thought the under was the play. Because I'm like, well, if he gets touched up a little bit, he's just getting there by the hook. The walks are clearly a big issue. I think Ohtani to the under makes sense. I very quickly realized as this game progressed, the first inning he gave up 4 runs and then, you know, turned it around and was almost unhittable over innings 2, 3, 4, and 5. Ohtani, basically, the minimum that this guy's going to give you is 7. In 4 innings. And if he can make it 5, gives you the 9. If this guy by chance can go 6 innings, he's going to strike out double digit batters. Only 75 pitches here. So Ohtani with strikeout props is someone that it really, if he even gives you four innings, it seems like he'll hit seven. And if he gets more than that, he's going to flirt with double digits. It's why he's the second choice to win the American League MVP. Modern day Babe. I don't know what more you could ask for from this guy. What an absolute sensation.
Yeah, the Angels are playing the Rangers today. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Angels are favored -158 on the money line with a total at 9. Also want to mention the Marlins-Bruins game, 8-0 for Miami. They were absolutely crushing it yesterday. Trevor Rogers, 6 innings pitched with 7 strikeouts. What did you want to talk about for this game, Kev?
So this was another massive strikeout props game here. Trevor Rogers had been dominating to the over, and Corbin Burns had been otherworldly, striking out batters at almost a 50% rate. Like every other hitter that he was seeing, he was getting sat down. Yesterday, Rogers over under 7.5 Ks. Corbin Burns over under 9.5 Ks. Both of them dropping by the hook. And it's one of the things that I've realized with betting some of these strikeout props here. Look, betting is typically stressful. I mean, not supposed to be, but if you're excited about it, if you're invested, it can be. It's a part of the fun. Corbin Burns, Trevor Rogers, these guys are great strikeout pitchers, but you have the under on a strikeout prop feels like it is one of the least stressful bets that you can make because there's so many ways for it to go wrong. You have to get to 2 strikes on the guy. You have to close the door. You have to pitch enough innings. In the National League, you can't be replaced in the lineup, which is, of course, what we see when they need to bring in the pinch hitters. It could limit your pitch count. There's so many different ways. Corbin Burns struck out 9 batters through 5 innings and then couldn't get an out in the top of the 6th, his worst start of the season. He still got great overall numbers, but that left him under the hook. And then Trevor Rogers got off to a slow start, started to figure it out, but then only had that 6th inning to try to close the door before he was replaced in the hitting order and didn't get a strikeout in that final 6th inning. It was a crazy game for 2 guys that have been dominant with their strikeout props, both dropping by the hook.
Yes, and stay with us here, Erline. Coming up next, we're going to continue talking about Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Now, before the break, we talked about in the Major League Baseball strikeout props and how they can be advantageous to bettors. But another thing that a lot of people like to do when betting on Major League Baseball is live betting. And Kev, I know for the Cubs Braves last night, that was a great opportunity for bettors to take advantage of live betting.
Oh my gosh, was it ever. I'll tell you, and baseball right now is getting a lot of attention. I know for myself and Donnie Wrightside on In Play Sports Tonight, there's so many opportunities. There's so many creative ways to bet this sport live. And I want to try to bring some of those experiences and strategies here to the morning, Joe, because of course we can, you know, lock these things in pregame, but betting doesn't stop just, you know, after first pitch, after tip, after kickoff. And what happened yesterday in Braves Cubs was it really so interesting. So the Braves come out, they jump all over Zach Davies, plate 4 runs immediately, right? We then have a situation in which there's runners on second and third base, 2 outs, Charlie Morton coming to the plate for the Atlanta Braves. Charlie Morton, of course, the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. On the season, Charlie Morton batting 125 because he's a pitcher. Odds are significantly likely that Charlie Morton is going to be the final batter of the inning for the Atlanta Braves. On the live line, on the run line, which obviously is always 1.5 pregame, some Dodgers games 2.5, but shifts dramatically in game, the Cubs were getting 5.5 runs. Yes, down 4-0. Yes, runners on second and third, but still overwhelmingly likely to be getting out of that inning with Charlie Morton at the plate. You take 5.5 runs and Charlie Morton grounds out to short, you never, not once, were losing plus 5.5 runs with the Chicago Cubs. In the third inning, Chris Bryant hits a grand slam. You have 5.5 runs in your back pocket in what is now a tied baseball game. And this is a game that was tied at multiple points throughout. You could have tried for middles, possibly. Braves money line, plus 5.5 runs. You could have, you know, done some pseudo middles where you take the over live when that game was, you know, tied at 4-4. It was such an interesting spot, Aaron, because you're working sometimes against these algorithms. And simply put, I don't think these algorithms can always account for who's at bat. Mm-hmm. It would not be 5.5 runs just because there's guys on second and third when a Charlie Morton is so likely to make an out at the plate like he did. 5.5 runs for a game that the Braves only won by 1 and at no point led by 6 or even 5 runs. It was really, really cool stuff last night to follow.
Mm-hmm. So out of curiosity, Kev, let's say since the Braves went up 4 runs in the first inning here, when you see that live line, would you recommend to bettors immediately taking that because it is the first inning and that switched, of course, to Cubs plus 5.5? Or would you say this was just one of those, not outlier games, but something that doesn't happen as often? Or do you think that that's an opportunity if someone goes out to the lead at the beginning of a game?
Tremendous question, because we were breaking this down yesterday. The Braves, but 4-0, they were almost minus 3,000 to win that game. Pardon? It is the first inning. I don't care what the score is. I don't think you could be minus 3,000 in the first inning. If you came back around and grabbed the Cubs, and let's just be conservative here, the numbers were larger, but let's just say you got them at 10-1 to win this game. In the third inning, it was tied. I mean, you want to talk about a hedge and locking in profit. The Braves come down, you know, to say that minus 150 range. So you've got a team at minus 150, and the other side, you have it 10-1. The amount of damage that you can do with numbers like that is undeniable. Look, yes, Aaron, sometimes a team will just get absolutely ran off the field and a blowout will take place. We've seen it plenty of times. But that's also why timing when betting Major League Baseball is so important. I don't think I would have looked to bet 5.5 runs if Freddie Freeman was at the plate and they were 2-1, because Freeman might slap an RBI double and all of a sudden it's 6-0. But it was Charlie Morton. He's not going to get a hit. Maybe he is, but I'll live with Charlie Morton getting that hit. And that's why I wanted to take those 5.5 runs. But you're making a great point there. You could take a huge money line, hope the game gets tighter, and then look to lock in profit at some point throughout.
And the Braves and Cubs are facing off again today. Braves minus 174 on the money line on the FanDuel Sportsbook, total at 9.5. So, Kev, let's get into some preview. 15 games on the board today. We'll start off with the Red Sox and the Mets. Mets favored right now, minus 148 on the FanDuel Sportsbook with the total at 8.5. Now, for the Red Sox, they just won 5-3 over the Mariners. Now, the Mets were meanwhile swept by the Nationals, which was terrible, 4-0 there. In terms of some numbers that I wanted to mention for this segment, Boston 8-1 in the last 9 road games, 6-1 in their last 7 games against a team with a winning record. Mets 5-1 in their last 6 home games, but 3-9 in their last 12 games following a win. Kev, which way would you play this game?
So I'm excited for this series here. A couple of clubs right now that find themselves at the top of their respective divisions, and two teams getting it done in different ways. Mets right now, a lot of it has to do with their pitching. Red Sox, a lot of it has to do with their hitting. That total at 8.5, though, is very interesting, Aaron, right now. The New York Mets, we're trying to find some early season trends that we can establish, right? We talk about Reds and the home games to the over. Mets home games to the under has been miraculous this season. 6-1-1 to the under for the New York Mets at Citi Field this year. Certainly welcoming in a club like the Boston Red Sox that can play to overs, has been, you know, more overs than unders team, a good lineup here. But this could be a trend for us to follow. The Mets at home, their pitching is getting the job done on a regular basis. They're hitting a little underwhelming at times here. I think that 8.5 mark, Aaron, to the under could be a play with especially what we've seen from the New York Mets at Citi Field.
Yeah, I know for the Mets, obviously, the under has been great for them. I was just curious, obviously, you kind of already answered my question here, but with Garrett Richards and David Peterson on the mound, would you actually go against the grain potentially in this game? Obviously, we know the trends with the Mets going under, but you mentioned the Red Sox sometimes hitting that over. What do you really believe that going under here of the 8.5 would be the play?
And let me say, so that's the thing where you have to find that balance with trends, right? Just because I give you a trend, well, look, there's still games that have gone over. There's a game that pushed. David Peterson and Garrett Richards, a couple of guys whose ERAs are above 6 this season. That's going to strike some fear into folks looking to bet this under. So then perhaps maybe you'll look to play this game over. Or perhaps you'll look to play it live. And you see how Garrett Richards starts the game. How does David Peterson start the game? Maybe, yes, runs in the first inning. Peterson's been getting touched early and often this season. So it's, again, a really good point by you. Just because I throw a trend out there or Aaron throws a trend out there, there's still more to the game that needs to be broken down because these pitchers matter so much, and Peterson Richards is a far cry from Cole Bieber.
Yeah, and you make a great point. I think in any professional sporting league, you can follow every single trend, and that doesn't mean it's going to hit. Obviously, the trends are for a reason, and maybe a team is playing well, let's say, to the under, but that doesn't mean, like you mentioned, Kev, that happens every single game. You have to know the ins and outs, and of course, with Major League Baseball, the most important thing is the pitching. Let's continue with our preview. Nationals Blue Jays. Max Scherzer is on the mound. Now, the Nationals were minus 136 last night. This morning, minus 122 on the money line with a total at 8.5. Now, for the Nationals, 1-4 in their last 5 games in the first start of a series, and as a road favorite, 3-10 in their last 13 interleague games against a right-handed starter. Now, for the Blue Jays, they've won 3 of their last 4 games, 7-2 in their last 9 games against the Nationals.
Yeah, that you know, start of the series trend, I think, is really interesting. A team trying to establish themselves early goings, right? But, of course, I'm interested in Max Scherzer taking the mound here. Not a great opening start for him against that Atlanta Braves team. Boy, has he figured it out since then, though. It's just been spectacular. And he's only allowed 1 run since his first start of the season. Has allowed no runs in his last 2 outings, going 13 innings of scoreless baseball, only 6 hits, 3 walks, and 19 strikeouts. That's the Max Scherzer that we've come to know. That's Cy Young Max. That's a guy that you look to back almost regardless of opponent. Max Scherzer as a favorite at minus 122, incredibly justifiable. Kind of guy to a lot of people, I'm sure, will be looking at that strikeout prop. But he has been dialed in, Aaron, since that opening day start.
Yeah, and 2 other games that we wanted to quickly mention. The Padres are playing the Diamondbacks. Padres favored, total at 9. Giants minus 180 against Rockies, total at 9. But the Giants have the same record as the Dodgers in the NL West.
And that's why you want to bring this game up here. I mean, the fact that this team is the same record as the Dodgers is unbelievable. Dodgers have dropped a couple of games, but give the Giants credit. They are piping hot right now, and they keep beating up on the Rockies. And then in that other NL West tilt with the Padres and the Diamondbacks, just want to mention again, trying to get a sense what the Padres look like their first game after that battle with the LA Dodgers.
Yep, and all these odds are available right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook 16 MLB games. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Happy Tuesday to all our viewers and listeners, of course. Now let's talk about the NFL draft, Kev. There's some big headlines. I know yesterday we talked about the Falcons. They're listening to trade offers for Julio Jones, but they can't really do this until June 1st. So, of course, this is a rumor. And with the NFL draft happening this week, starting on Thursday, there are a lot of rumors swirling, and we'll talk about a few of those. But how do you think this could potentially impact the Falcons pick?
So there's a lot of things that can kind of have a trickle-down effect here with this rumor. But I guess it is worth pointing out that this is probably a little more than just a rumor. As yesterday, the new Falcons general manager, Terry Fontenot, I hope I'm saying that last name correctly, was being interviewed by a local news station who just was like, hey, look, let me ask you about this report here that you're interested in taking phone calls on Julio Jones. And he didn't deny it for a second. And in fact, he basically said, yeah, we are. We have to take phone calls. We're not in a great cap situation. And we'd be doing ourselves a disservice to not take those phone calls. Very different than Shanahan, I don't know if I'll be alive tomorrow vibes from Big Kyle. So that right there, Erin, tells me that they're not just listening, but they're ready to make a move when the time is right. And that's important for this. The time is not right Thursday or Friday or this weekend. It's June 1st. From a cap perspective, they will not be making any move on Julio Jones until June 1st. It doesn't mean that they or their league counterparts, though, might not be preparing for Julio to be out of Atlanta.
Yeah, and what's interesting now that we're talking about this, I also want to bring up that Jimmy G situation, because I know Kyle Shanahan, of course, making those comments about, I don't know if I'm going to be live come Sunday. How much truth and validity can you take from some of these press conferences? I mean, you just made a great point with the GM being able to say this, but then you have a coach, you know, like Kyle Shanahan, who's kind of thrown out, hey, I'm not even going to answer your questions. I don't even know who's going to be alive on Sundays.
Right. So I guess for each team, it's going to be different, right? And I guess for the Falcons, they're not worried about, oh, because you're not going to ruin Julio's confidence by saying, oh, we might listen to trade offers, right? First of all, Julio renegotiates his contract every offseason because he's an absolute legend and I love him for it. So Julio knows the game. Second of all, you're not listening to trade offers because you don't think that you can win a Super Bowl with Julio Jones. It's because he's incredibly valuable and you're in an awful cap situation. And Julio actually might want to get out of town and maybe go to a team that's got a little more meat on the bone as far as Super Bowl contending. Jimmy Garoppolo, on the other hand, though, what's your quarterback? He might be on the roster. He might not. You're drafting a quarterback at three. That's probably already going to mess up with his head a little bit there. If you keep him on the roster, well, you're going to want to have him correct. And you really don't want to tell people, yeah, I got a good feeling we'll get rid of Jimmy by the time the NFL draft has come to a conclusion. That doesn't really help anybody outside of maybe the team that you might be trading him to and lessening your leverage. So, yeah, Erin, you always want to read those tea leaves there and get a sense. But I think both the Julio rumors and the Jimmy Garoppolo rumors will be having an impact on this draft. I think it would be silly to hand wave those two rumors. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting how these players do react to some of these drafting calls by some of these teams. I mean, you made a great point with Julio Jones. Maybe it won't mess with his confidence, but then with Jimmy G, it could potentially, you know, mess with his. Obviously, his, you know, entire status seems unknown considering Kyle Shanahan's comments. But a lot of times we've had Jimmy G, he was, you know, equated to going back to the Patriots. And now there's rumors that Justin Fields could be going to the Patriots. How much validity can we take with these Justin Fields rumors? Because before, you know, throughout the last couple of weeks, we're talking about him going third. We're talking about him going fourth. And then all of a sudden, we're now talking about his over-under totals at 8.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
So the one, I guess, the one thing that would maybe give you pause is how did the Patriots rumor get out? Because I don't think if you're the Patriots, you want people to know that you're ready to trade into the top 10 for Justin Fields. Whether Bill Belichick still commands a lot of respect in this league, and I don't think that a rumor of Bill is coming for Fields if you folks pass on him is the type of thing that is going to help Belichick land Justin Fields. Because all of the sudden then, maybe the Niners reconsider. Maybe the Broncos become more aggressive. Maybe the Detroit Lions, instead of being willing to trade with you and allow you to come up to 7, you know what? We're going to take Justin Fields ourselves. So why that rumor becomes available, it is fair to question. But also, I mean, does it not make all the sense in the world? Bill Belichick makes a lot of good decisions. Justin Fields, I still would label the second best quarterback in this draft, for no reason might be available at 7, 8, 9, could be the fifth quarterback off the board. Yeah, I mean, the connection makes a ton of sense there. And I don't think with the Cam Newton signing, anybody, including Cam Newton, is under the impression that he is now going to be their quarterback for the next decade. It is a one-year incentive-laden deal that the Pats handed Cam Newton. So the link there from Justin Fields to the New England Patriots makes all the sense in the world to me.
No, it absolutely makes sense. I feel like the Patriots obviously need a solidified quarterback at some point. A lot of people, of course, equating his legacy to that of Tom Brady's, obviously going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the first year, winning the Super Bowl. But give Bill some time. I don't think this is going to taint his legacy this next year coming with Cam Newton. Like you mentioned, I don't even think Cam Newton thinks he's the long-term solution for the New England Patriots. So obviously, moving up in this draft, getting a quarterback would make the most sense. But again, you make a great point of who leaked this information. Of course, being journalists and broadcasters as well, just kind of have to cipher through some of these rumors and try to figure out which one is most valid and most important and what makes the most sense. But like we mentioned, QB does. Let's also get into some of the markets that are available in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Kev, you can take us anywhere with one of your favorites to be betting in right now.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, you know, interesting markets that we're still trying to get a sense of. Here's one thing I'll throw out there, though, right? Just from some of our rumors. Let's go to Jimmy Garoppolo one, for example. This over-under quarterbacks, 5.5. We've talked a lot about this, a big plus 460 number. I'm still attracted to that 460 number. It's a huge, huge number. We know five of them are going off the board, right? Trevor, Zach, Lance, Jones, Fields. You already, like, that's the thing about that number that is so interesting to me is, like, 5.5 quarterbacks going is a absolute guarantee. It's a matter of whether or not one more quarterback will go. How does Jimmy Garoppolo impact this? Well, if the Niners are willing to part ways with Jimmy Garoppolo, could one of these teams that were contemplating, say, trading up into the first round or looking to, you know, just stand pat and draft a quarterback late, do they maybe now say, you know what, let's let the first 32 play out and let's call the Niners when the dust settles and let's see if we can execute a trade before day two? Because I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to command a first round pick. Between age and leverage, I don't think the Niners would be able to make that kind of move. But I do think there's a world. We talk, you know, all of these things matter, you know, butterfly effect, trickle down. This stuff is important here. I think it is very likely that all of a sudden Jimmy Garoppolo becoming available could impact Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, Davis Mills, and when they come off the board.
Yeah, and obviously this is such a quarterback heavy field this year. Kevin, out of your, like, in your opinion, how many do you see actually going first round and in what order almost?
So, of course, again, we know that the five are going to go, right? There's just no doubt about it. Those first five are going to go. And we're basically at the point here. Trevor, again, he's been going to the Jaguars since the Jaguars locked up the one pick. Zach Wilson to the Jets. It is interesting that we've all just, yes, Zach Wilson is the pick. Like, imagine the Jets just pick Justin Fields at a left field, and we'd be like, oh, they made it. Because nobody would think it was a bad move, but it would be totally surprising. Odd thing there. But we expect Zach's going to be going second. At this point, everything points to Mac Jones going three, right? And we can talk more about that in a moment. But so we expect Mac to go three. There's a world in which Trey Lance or Justin Fields goes off the board at four. Again, four of them could be gone in the first four picks. We know that Lance and Fields, though, are very likely to land inside the top 10. I do think with the match bets, Aaron, that we talked a little bit about yesterday, we've got the idea that it's going to be Kellen Mond before Kyle Trask. At least that's what the odds tell us. Mm-hmm. And we know Davis Mills, the Stanford quarterback, is the one who is in the mix there. And based on over-under draft positions, Davis Mills is supposed to be that or sixth quarterback off the board. I just think that plus 460 number is what makes it so interesting. Because while it does appear to be an absolute long shot based on the over-unders for these quarterbacks, the quarterback position is still so valuable. Teams like the Steelers, teams like the Bucks, teams like the Saints, these teams are always taking a look, always getting a sense of what's what. And it wouldn't surprise me to see a sixth one come off the board.
And for those that are new to maybe tuning into the early line, Kevin and I have been talking about this for the past couple of weeks. We've been updating you on all the odds. And it's interesting how you can gather a lot of information from looking at an odds board. We know where teams could potentially go. You can kind of gather some type of information. Let's say if you're not even in the sports betting realm, obviously minus money, it's a favorite there. But you can kind of take a lot away from some of these odds that are posted right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook.
No doubt about it. And I wanted to get back to the Mac Jones thing now, where we see him as a minus 250 favorite to go third overall. This Mac Jones stuff is so fun to watch develop, because there are some, you know, folks trying to figure out what are the Niners doing, and maybe more so, what are the Niners trying to tell us here? Yesterday saying there's five quarterbacks we're comfortable with at three. Why the heck did you trade up to three then? You could have just stayed at 12. You could have
come
up to like 7.
We talked about this multiple times, though. How do they not know what they're going to do when they had that pick?
It's beyond
all those pro days.
Look, and I know some folks think, oh, well, they're trying to create smoke screens. Why? For what? What are they going to accomplish by that? They're already picking at three. Bizarre. I still think it's Mac Jones, though.
Yep, stay with us here. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. I want to talk a little bit about Trevor Lawrence. I love when I read in articles the presumptive number one overall pick. At this point, let's just say he's going to the Jags. But anyways, Lawrence, he's partnered with a global cryptocurrency investment app called Blockfolio and will place his signing bonus into an account with the company. Now, the signing bonus for this year's number one pick is an estimated over $22,630,000, even more than that, according to SpoTrack. I mean, that's an insane amount of money to put into crypto. Kev, if you were getting your signing bonus, would you put it into crypto, knowing how big it's lately been blowing up?
No, I would not. But that's because I don't under. Okay, so I like you. You have to try to keep up with the times, right? And I feel like I think I do a good job of that. Although occasionally I'm like, and I know I'm young. We're both young, but like sometimes I'm like, oh no, I don't know what that is. Am I getting old? Or I don't know what the cryptocurrency thing right over my head. I mean, I get it.
I understand it, but there's so many people that have come out and love it. There's so many people who hate it. There's a lot of people who do not trust it. It could just go into there and completely evaporate. A lot of people think that. Obviously, I'm thinking, all right, $22 million, that's just your signing bonus. You know, if I was to cash out on that, I would, and I would just go enjoy my life until I was about 60. I mean, let's be honest, like there's only a certain amount of time you have on the earth to really like spend that money. I don't think I could spend $22 million. In my lifetime. I really don't. You think?
I think you could.
I guess if you're living that high-end lifestyle, not saying that Trevor Lawrence is, but just in general, like cars, houses, clothes, money, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think you absolutely could find a way to spend that. But this is the thing about, like, I know that when I talk about cryptocurrency, I sound old. I'm like, what is this? Can't we just stick to normal money?
Kevin and I, just so people know, are in our 20s. Just everyone is.
Yeah, yeah, like mid-20s, it like, I don't get it. I don't like it. Also, though, low-key, like, he's kind of gambling on his money. Like, Trevor, like, get yourself a dog of the day. Rip a nice $2 million bet on the Detroit Pistons and cash out, brother.
This is why you would lose the $22 million pretty quickly. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on The Early Line.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.